We read Romans chapter 2. And I want to focus on one verse particularly. But we'll reference the context around it. The verse I mentioned to you is verse
4.
Where we read, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" My friends, this is set forth here as a question. The end of this sentence, it has a question mark. It means that Paul is asking the reader or the church a question. When one asks a question, you expect to receive an answer. And the answer is going to be based on reason. Or based on your belief. You see, if someone would say to someone who has not eaten all day, "Are you hungry?" it would be quick to answer yes. You see, now he's asking a question here. And the question is very particular. And it's very convicting. He says, "Do you despise the riches of his goodness?" Or forbearance. Or long suffering. So, why is he asking this question? What is happening here? You see, Paul is speaking to the church who are in some of the same troubles as we are today. There was a lot of people who were going to church, who had a kind of a religion, and they had many different thoughts and ideas. And the problem was this. The main idea in every religion then was based on doing something. It was based on trying. Based on works. And Paul says this. Paul says already here before that if you stand in the judgment of God, so I'm just summing it up. Okay. So if you stand as a judge instead of God, it means this. Many people were doing such. They were feeling religious. They pray. And they go to church. They sing. And as long as whenever they're doing something that's not so good, they make sure nobody sees. So that they could feel self-righteous. They would go to other people and they would say, "Where have you been last night? What have you done?" You see, that would be an accusation. And maybe at the quarrel, they would say,
You know that neighbor there? She was letting someone in last night. And he's married.
Amen.
You know, the problem is this. The problem is this. It wasn't the young woman who let someone in that was having a problem. Of course, that's not allowed. But Paul's not talking about her. Paul's talking about the people at the borehole. Who are saying to her about her, she's no good.
Yes.
You see? So this is different, isn't it? Because Paul's not talking to the sinner. In particular. He's talking about those who judge others and who judge others and justify themselves. Now, let's be careful. Because Paul might be talking to us. And we need to be, and if we think Paul's not talking about me, then we're in trouble. In big trouble. See, Paul says a little further here. He says, after verse 4, he says in verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God.
Verse 5.
And what does he mean? You see, what he's saying here, What he's teaching here is that God has come for one purpose. That's to save sinners. It means something. It means if he sent his only begotten son to do something, it means that doing something cannot be done by the sinner. It's a little bit difficult when translating is happening if you're always clapping. I appreciate it, but maybe we can let me, just because it's a challenge already to translate, so just explain to them. Okay, it's just, if I could speak to Chawa, it would be much easier, but because we're translating. Okay, so let's go back. So what's happening here? And what are the lessons? Why is he teaching this? You see that we by nature, we have a hard time with truth. And so did these people. What do we read here? Let's go to one verse to show you one more verse.
Ulandira chonadi kumadifuta.
So if we go to verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and to and also to the Gentile. So what's happening? We're talking about Jew and Gentile. What does that mean for us today? Is there Jews and Gentiles here today? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. See, Paul's not talking about a nation or a race. He doesn't want to separate between two people. Neither does he want to separate against black and Zungu. We're all the same. There's no difference. What he's saying here is that the Jews are a religious folk. The Jews have the law. And the Gentiles don't know the law. I mean, not the law of Moses. So, who is he speaking to? He's speaking to all religious people. And that means he's speaking to us. Because if we're coming to church, it means we're somewhat religious. It means we have some belief. You wouldn't come here if you didn't believe something. And why am I teaching this? I'm teaching this because I know that even here in this village, like every village in Malawi, there is a lot of Jews. I don't mean Jewish people. But I mean the Jewish religion. I mean a religion where you are trying to keep the law of God. And it's not working. So it's not working in Malawi. It's not working in this village. And it's not working in your family. Look at the results of our families. Look at our marriages. Look at what's happening in our villages. We have children walking around who don't know their father. Do you know that we have more churches in Malawi? In the villages of Malawi, more churches than orphans, we forget the orphans and build a church. That's our religion here. And it's not what God is teaching us. You saw, as long as we have a church, as long as we sing nimbos, as long as we read the Bible, when we go out, we can do what we want. Men can take other women. Women can sell themselves to other men. We can gossip. We can beat our wives. We can do whatever we want. We can sneak into a field and take at night time. And as long as nobody's stealing, we can think, or no one's seeing, we can take what we want. You know, we're in trouble. Because in church, we are very holy. We have big prayers. But what about in the house? That's what Paul is talking about here. You know why Paul is saying this in chapter 4? This question: despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?
Kapena
wasadziwa kuti ubwino wa Mulungu udzakupezera kwa kulapa.
Let me explain to you what this means. I need to explain it carefully. So you understand. See, nobody despises the goodness and forbearance and long suffering of God. Everywhere I go, they say God is good all the time. I've never gone to a church where they say God is never good. Ever. Now listen carefully. Let's understand this. He's saying, do you despise the goodness and forbearance and long suffering? And we would think no. But Paul's asking something very particular. Paul is asking a convicting question. So listen carefully. We may say, no, we don't despise. We say God is good all the time. And yet, Paul says, in that spirit, you could be despising the goodness and forbearance of God. How do you despise the goodness and forbearance of God? I'm telling you, most of Malawi is despising it. I'm telling you the truth. And maybe you too. How do we despise it? It's like this. It's saying God is good all the time, but doing what we want afterwards. That's despising the goodness and forbearance of God. You see, you could come to church here. You could sing. You could clap. You can even pray like you pray. But if you go afterwards, during the week, in the night time, and you knock on the door from a woman. You are despising the goodness of God. Now, slow down. Because if you're a woman that says, come in, and even says, I must take care of my children, so I'll give him what he wants for 1,000 kwacha. You are despising the goodness of God. You see, so he's not meaning just in general with your lips. See, Christ comes today in the teaching. And he says, you say that I'm good all the time. But he says, why, if I'm good all the time, why are you against me? That's what Christ is asking you today. You see, because what does he say here? He's saying, are you despising the goodness and forbearance and long suffering of God? And he says, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You see, the goodness of God is not for us to take. It is not for us to be reassured of something. The goodness of God is supposed to lead us to repentance. You see, God is long-suffering. That means that He is patient with people. It's like, let me explain to you. Your husband comes home and he's been with another woman. And he says to you, forgive me. You might get angry. Or you may say, I forgive you. But if he did it 10 times, would you be long suffering? If your wife does things wrong over and over, what do you do? What happens? You may even beat her. Is that long suffering? No, we don't know what long suffering is. But God is long suffering. So this is true. Why is he long suffering? What is the reason why he's long suffering? If not, we would all be damned a long time ago. You see? But God is long suffering. Not for you to say, to admit that.
So
but for us to come to repentance. And what he's saying here is this. Why are you going around about as a good person? I go to church. I don't do as much bad things as my neighbor. I pray. He's saying, why are you doing that for? He's saying, do you think that is going to save you? Do you really think you're going to heaven because of that? He's saying, no. Just look in your heart. You are no different than the person who is caught in adultery. You don't have to be caught to be an adulteress. You see, because let me give you some examples. If tonight some thieves came and they were caught in your village taking something, your village would come together and maybe even beat him. And during the day, maybe you were somewhere and you managed to take something without anyone knowing. And you don't get beat to death. Let me give you another example. Man. Maybe you say, no, we don't take other women. We are not like those other men. They're taking other women. But we're not like that. You know what God says? What about when you are walking? And you see a woman. And you say, you see, because in your heart and in your mind,
chifukwa mmene wangoona mu mtima mwako ndi maganizo ako onse.
We have already committed it.
Wafika mkali ndipo chigolo chana.
You see, so Paul is trying to teach us something. He's trying to say, don't think you are better. Don't think you are keeping the law. By showing yourself as a better person. Our heart is the same. What he's saying is this. You need to repent. Now listen carefully. What does he mean repentance? He does not mean you have to stop
sinning.
He's not saying stop doing what you're doing. You can't. Even if you try, you can't. We don't have the power to that. The power is in God alone. But repentance means this. Now listen carefully. Repentance means that I must stop believing that other people are more evil than me.
That's
repentance. And that I must become equal with the woman in the village who has had 5 husbands already. Even if I've only had
2,
I must become equal. Sinners. God saves sinners. He doesn't save righteous people. He makes them righteous by his sacrifice. Righteous before God. And repentance means that I must stop and no longer think and believe that I can procure my own salvation. Repentance means I have to stop and go back to God. But so many people think I have to go back to God. And they go back to God. And their heart is as such. God, I've done some bad things. But I'm not so bad as my neighbor. So I know you will accept me. And I'm going to try hard. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop saying so many bad things. I feel better
already.
And your life is more miserable than before. We need to be convicted that you and me are dying sinners. That our heart is evil and wicked in and out. That there is no good in me. And I need to turn to God. And repent that I ever thought that I was better than another. Repent that I ever thought going to church would save me. Maybe even repent that I ever thought that being a pastor would bring me to
hell.
Because no one is acceptable before God.
Yeah.
unless we are washed and cleansed by the blood of
Jesus
Christ. And that, so that means repent. I am nothing. I am a sinner. I am equal to the greatest whore in this village. And I apply for the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse and wash me from all my sins. That doesn't mean that I didn't do them. But it means that he washes me and cleanses me from the guilt of those sins. As though I'm no longer a sinner in front of God, in God's eyes. Because Christ took them all to the cross. You see, people, this verse here. In Romans chapter 2, is speaking to us of something different. It's speaking to us saying, why are you despising the goodness of God by going your own way? Why do you continue to have a life you are having? And you need to know for yourself, whatever life you are having, whatever happened today, last week, where is your husband? Where is your children? Where is your family? Where is your forgiveness? Where is your patience? Where is your love one for another? And don't be quick to answer. You know what these people were saying? If it's not so bad. God is good and long-suffering. I think it should be okay
when I...
No, it won't be. People, I have to tell you something. Malawi needs to wake up. This village needs to wake up. Because if you really truly believe that God is good and long suffering, you wouldn't be in this mess. Your families would not be ruined. Your marriage would not be ruined. If we really truly believe this. But we're believing in a false gospel. Even this village is believing a false gospel. Look at the sin and corruption that's taking place in your village. Just think about your family. How much corruption is in your family? I see it. Nobody even trusts each other
anymore.
You can't even trust your own husband. You can't trust your own wife. You cannot trust your neighbor. I see fear. Frustration. Anger. I see poverty. I see hopelessness. Do you agree?
Yes.
Yes? Yes. Then why are we saying God is good all the time? My friends, we are just fooling ourselves. What needs to change? Paul says this needs to change. We need to stop fooling God. And stop thinking of these schemes to trick God. You can trick each other. And that happens to everyone here. So much tricking. so many schemes. But you can't trick God. You can, you amongst each other, you can continue to do this. And it's happening in your family. It's happening today. You can't even trust each other. You're having a hard time. Every day is big discussions everywhere. Trying to figure things out. Who's at fault? Who's doing what? Always by the chief. Trying to dispute. To come out with family disputes. So much that it's happening right in your family. It's happening in your marriage. And there's no love in your marriage. There's no love in your community. There's no patience. Am I telling the truth? There's no long suffering. There's no care for one another. And I mean true care. Love for one another. And let me ask you a question. When is the last time that you took the piece of meat when you had some meat and you took the best piece of meat as men and give it to one of the children? It's not working, is it? Yet you believe that God can give you the greatest gift, which is salvation. So we believe that God can and will forgive us all of our sins and give us life eternal. And yet, if that's true for yourself, yet a little piece of choice meat you won't give to one of the children. Is that God's love? Or is that selfishness? You know, if you cook sima, and you know there's a family that doesn't have sima. Maybe even in the next village. Will you take half of your sima? And bring it to them? And just take a little bit for yourself? So this is a problem. It means Paul is saying you're despising the goodness of God for your own benefit. And you know what the greatest problem was? You know what they said? It's our culture. It's our tradition. But you know what Paul said? Your tradition is going to send you to hell. Your culture won't save you. Only the blood of Jesus Christ will save you. Only His love. His forgiveness will give you forgiveness. will give you the power of forgiveness. My friends, if God has truly forgiven you, you will become forgiven. If God truly loves you, you will become loving. If God is truly patient with you, you will become very patient.
Yes.
You know what you will do? You know what you will do? You will do what Christ does. You will wash each other's feet. I don't mean literally. I just mean serving one another. Helping one another. Caring for one another. Telling the children about the love of Jesus Christ. Instead of beating them. A father. A father who is in Christ will not just leave his children for another wife. How is that possible? Because even in the churches today, there's many people sitting who are yelling, God is good all the time. And when they come home, they are angry at the wife. They say, I'll find another one. One who respects me. You see the proudness? The high-mindedness? And you cannot be here today and believe you are a Christian. If you go to the borehole with the other woman and gossip about the other lady who's doing bad things, how is that possible? That can't be possible. You know, that's what they were doing. That's what Paul is talking about. He says, you're neglecting, despising the goodness of God. And you're making the goodness of God for an other use. When we do evil, God is good. He will forget. Despising his goodness. He is not good just for you to use. Goodness of God leads to repentance. The goodness of God and the long suffering of God is there or here today to teach us to repent. Why? Because this is true that God is good. And it's true that he's long-suffering. But do you also know what else he is? He is also righteous and just. And righteous and just means this. That if we don't repent, and if we don't come to him in repentance for forgiveness, to receive life eternal, his righteousness, and his justice, must condemn you forever. So his goodness and his mercy are for us today. Why? So that we may repent. He expresses his long suffering to us. And he's calling out to us. And he's saying, repent. And you may say something today. You may say, I have repented. But have you? I'm coming here with this question for you. Have you repented? If you do, you even know what repentance means? Because I'm telling you, if all of you have come to repentance, this village would change. It would start here in this church. If you have come in repentance to God as a sinner and ask for forgiveness to God and have been forgiven by him, you will become a forgiving person. That's what his grace does. That's the power of his grace. And you'll be forgiving to one another. And you might say, now this is impossible. You may even say, while I'm speaking this, you may say, I'm still a sinner. And I'm trying hard. I'm trying to be better. But God is saying this to you. Stop trying. Stop trying. It has never succeeded, has it? He doesn't want you to try. He never says anywhere in his Bible, you need to try to be good
patient.
He never says anywhere in the Bible, you need to try to be patient. You need to try to be forgiving. He doesn't say that anywhere. I know many people preach this. And it feels good. But it doesn't work in practice. I know you're asking something. You're saying, if we shouldn't, when you say, he doesn't say try, then what's the point? What's the use? That's the secret of the gospel. Let me tell you the gospel. The gospel does not say try to be forgiving. But it says believe. In the only name given under heaven and upon earth, whereby we may be saved. Because Christ did not try. He did it. What I can do, he did. He came to this earth sinless. And he became, and all of his life, he was perfect before God. And then after that, he went to the cross for himself. Did he die because he did a lot of bad things?
What did he die for on the cross if he did not commit any sin in his lifetime?
Mm-hmm. Did he die because he went into a house and took a sack of corn? Did he die because he sneaked into a house at night with another woman? No. He was perfect. So why did he die? This is the mystery of it. He died because you and me did that.
And he took the punishment.
He took my
punishment. He took my punishment for my theft. For my sin. In word and deed and thought. He took my evil heart to the cross. Yeah, he took my anger to the cross. He took my frustration to the cross. He took even my deeds to the cross. And they were nailed there. See, he died for another. He took the place of another. Did he die for you? Did he take your sins to the cross? Did he take your evil heart to the cross? And you answer this for yourself. You don't have to answer it. But I want you to think for a moment. Very carefully. And very wisely. Did he die for your sins? Did he die for your anger? Did he die for your idolatry? Did he go to the cross for you? And if you answer today in your heart, God will see it. Not me. I'm just like you. I have to answer myself. But if you answer today, yes, then you know the power of forgiveness. And you are learning the forgiveness of Jesus Christ in your life. Which means this. You have forgiven someone today. And maybe you have even asked for forgiveness. Do you believe this? If Christ has taken my sins to the cross and forgiven me everything, why can't I be forgiven? Do you see in Malawi any husbands that go to the woman, that go to the wife and say to their wife, will you forgive me? I have done evil. I have been with others. Please forgive me. Christ forgave me. My wife, will you forgive me? Do you see that today in Malawi? You see, there's a problem, isn't there? Are you able to go to your husband? And sit by your husband? And say, I've been at the market today. And I have given some money that I shouldn't have done. Will you forgive me? You see, this seems crazy in Malawi. Do you know why? Just like these people. Because they said, no. It's our culture. But I'm telling you something, my friend. Culture will not bring you to heaven. Culture will not forgive you. Culture, you know what culture is? It's fierce. Culture is hard. Culture is mean. Because it keeps you in bondage. My friends, I have to tell you something. It's out of the bottom of my heart. This is what Christ was bringing the people. I'm not telling you something from this Zungu
the Zungu person is not telling you this. I won't be able to change you. But I know my God can. But I know that Malawi doesn't believe it. Because is more important, culture is more important in Malawi than the gospel. And I'm calling out to you. And I want to call out to the villagers. Stop. Stop what you're doing. You're despising the goodness of God. And if I go to a funeral, I want to say at the funeral, stop! Don't do this! Stop lying! Be honest! Because every time someone passes dies, they go to a funeral, then they stand there, and many are weeping, fakely. And then they say, this man was a good man. He did everything good for his wife. He took care of his family. And someone way over here. It's not true. It's not true. And then they say, God will take him. And he must rest in peace. And it's not true. It's a lie. And you know why we do this? Because of culture. It's our culture. You see how culture is killing us? Culture is killing Malawi. One after the other. Every day. More funerals. Culture is killing you. Culture is killing your family. Culture is killing your marriage. Culture is killing your children. And we have murder on our hands. All because we are willing to lie. So the truth won't expose. My dear friends, I have not come to Malawi. God has not sent me here to tell you nice, warm, and fluffy things. He has not sent me here to say it's okay. You're in church. You pray. You're going to heaven. You sing nice. God wants you. That's not what I've come here for. God has sent me here to tell Malawi the truth. So that Malawi would repent. So that mothers would repent. Repent from our evil ways. Repent from what we think will bring us to heaven. And be who we are. We are sinners. But when sinners come to Christ, Christ can save them.
Yes.
Christ is willing to forgive us all of our sins. Christ is willing. But are you?
Yes.
God is willing. Are you?
Yes.
Are you willing to go to him? Not to me. Not to an altar. It's not going to say
that.
You need to go with your heart to him and repent and receive his grace for nothing. And if that will happen, if that will take place, this village is going to change. Your families are going to change. But it starts with you. It starts with this church. My friends, you don't even need a new church building. If you become one in God, you become the building. And God blesses us as much as we need here on earth. You know, if you come to God and you put your trust in Him, you repent and you believe the gospel, you will never have to have another man in your life. Or 1,000 but you will have a husband in Christ. And He will take care of you. And every single day you will be praying for your husband. Every single day. Every hour. Every minute. And sometimes you will say, I don't see it. You know why He does that? He does that so you go to Him again. So He exposes you. So you say, Lord, help me. But you know what we do today? We say, the Lord's not helping me. Come on in. My children need to eat. This is the truth. And if this truth is not going to touch us and change us so that we stop believing culture is okay, then I have to tell you, in the name of my God, in the name of my Master, it will not go well. It's not going to go well with you here on earth. It's not going to go well with you when you die. You will not come, but when we die, we have to come before God. Our spirit comes before God. And God will say, who are you? What have you done? And if you, here on earth, have believed in Jesus Christ truly with your heart, you won't have to say anything. You know what will happen? If it's true in your life, then Christ will come. And He will say, this is my bride. And take you. Yes. But only if we believe with all of our heart and all of our soul. And not a pretending belief. Not 1 hour praising Him and the next hour trying to figure out a way to gain something. My friends, this village is despising the long suffering of God. Maybe you in the church today are convicted. Your heart says, it's not right with me. And then I call to you and I say this, repent. Repent and believe the gospel. Don't repent to me. Don't repent to your husband. Don't repent to your wife. Don't repent to a prophet. Don't repent at an altar. Go to God. Repent. In your heart and face God. See God by faith. Your creator. And I'm telling you, you're not allowed to go there. Because He will avenge Himself.
You can't go before God as a sinner. But before you go to God, between God and you is a cross.
It's
the cross of Jesus Christ. And you will find it. When you turn around in repentance, before you go to God, you will fall down by faith. And see Jesus Christ, who suffered for you, who died for you, who was spit upon, who was whipped, because you were supposed to be. Whose hands were bore through with dull thuds, nails going into his
head.
For Jesus Christ was on the wood, and they nailed
him
through his head. Why? Because it was supposed to go on you. But he didn't say anything. He just groaned. And he said, do it to me. So the woman in the church today can go free. Is that love? Is that pure? Is that pure love?
Yes.
How can we practice that? And if we're not practicing, we don't know the power of this love. I tell you all, God is my witness. If you have not repented, like I have told it to you today, let me tell you one more time before I stop. It's important so you know. Repentance is not stopping trying to do better. It's not trying to change your life. Repentance means this. Lord, I have always thought I had to do something. But evangelist told us today, I don't have to do anything except believe in the I don't have to change my life. But if I believe in you, you will change my life. See, so different. Most people say, you need to change your life. Then God will accept you. It's a lie. And it's from Satan. You need to believe in the gospel. You need to repent. Then God will change you. Because he will dwell in you. His love will dwell in you. And you'll become hopeful in him alone. Then you'll be able to sing, Jesus Christ is my life, my hope, he's my truth, he's my husband, he's my father, he's my expectation, he's my life, he's my hope. Then you can do that. And other people will say, what is happening with that? She used to have such foul language. She used to scream. She used to burst in anger. Now she's so calm. She's so restful. She's so peaceful. When did you find out? Let's come. Come. What happened? What did you say?
Christ.
Yes,
I'm
not
mine.
And has changed me.
Yes, I'm
the
one.
See,
That's the power of his love.
Then
you can say to them,
Let me tell you about repentance.
Let me tell you about the love of Christ. And you will be working for the kingdom of God. Just small ways. Then you will come to the borehole. And when people are around talking about someone else, then you will say this. Don't do that. You can't do that. You need to repent. Whereas before, you went right with the gospel. You see? Let's be honest. Be truthful. You see what happens? When God saves us, you know what we do? Now, you may have never heard this before. As men, what we do? We go to Chazunda on Friday night. And we see the prostitutes. And we see all the drunken people. And you know what we do? We say, sir, you are having so much beer. But I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. And we go to the women in Chazunda who are selling themselves. And we say, woman, don't do this. You are destroying your soul forever. We do this often. Some of those women, they curse us. I understand. They're making money. And their conscience doesn't want to bear them witness. What do I do? Do I say, it's not for you? No. I say, please. God doesn't want you to do this. Please repent. Don't do this. There's repentance for you. Even if you have been with 200 men, you can still repent. Because these women need repentance too. Just like you. And we go and evangelize. We begin to build a church. You come together. Building a church. Not this first. But to build a church, you go from house to house. And you knock. And you say, friend, may I tell you something? May I tell you about the Bible? Let's go, sit down. I want to tell you about the gospel of Christ. And you spend time with your neighbor. Then you go to the next house. And you say, friend, I need to tell you about the gospel of Christ. And you go from house to house telling them about the gospel of Christ. And do you know what happens then? God builds you a church. God builds you a church. And it will just be a simple building. Why? Because he doesn't want us to get used to anything here. But he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And I'm going to bring you home. Don't get comfortable on earth. You are in pain, maybe in body or in soul on earth. But if you repent and believe the gospel today, he's going to say this. Go tell 100 people. Then I'll take you home. That's all he needs you for
here. See,
God has a message for you. If you repent and believe the gospel, he's going to say to you through his word, go to the boreholes. Go to your neighbors. Go tell people. Go tell them about the gospel. I have a job for you. And I promise I'll take you home soon. I won't wait. And you know what happens then? You say, like Paul says, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? And you say this, Lord, I'm ready to be with you. But if you want me to tell a few more people, if you want me to live one more day, I will do it. And God sends an evangelist. An evangelist says, I'm tired. I've gone to so many villages. And I pray to the Lord, Lord, they don't believe me. They don't believe your word. And I have to pray tonight for you. And I say, Lord, they like your culture too much. They don't want to serve you. And you know what God says? Until I call you home, you just keep preaching. Then I can say, yes, Lord. I will go to this village. And yes, Lord. I will go Sunday and preach the word. But my prayer is this. Lord, save this village. Give your Holy Spirit to change the people, to change for good, so that marriages begin to heal, families become together again, the children are told about the gospel, and this village begins to transform in love and in unity. Maybe you say, this seems so impossible. But did Jesus Christ say, when he went to the cross, no, it's too impossible, I'm not going? So God says this to you today. What seems impossible with man is possible with God. Let's pray that this village may receive the grace of God. Let's pray. We pray to thee, O living God, our Creator, to thee to whom we owe all things. Thou sent thine only begotten Son to this earth to pay an impossible price. Yet thou shed thy blood, O Lord Jesus Christ. Or wilt thou make the blood that thou shed powerful in this village? Yes, so that it may have power in the hearts of men and women. We call out that repentance may take place in this village. Lord, let these people not go blind any longer. But let these people take hold of thee. Let this village transform into a spiritual village. Mothers who know the power of thy forgiveness. Fathers that go about asking for forgiveness. Children brought to thy feet. The power of thy blood transforming this village into true and honest Christians. We're calling out to thee, Lord, because we are so ignorant. And Lord, the lies have been so long in this village. But Lord, take away the lies and replace it with thy truth. Lord, come with power in this village. And let thy salvation pierce through this church. So this church may know what truly thy the power of thy grace is. If it be thy will, bring us back Sunday. So that we may bring thy word yet again. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.